Does the red light have to, it's on. Okay, there we go. When I was a kid, we had this big, giant red Bible. You know, those big, giant coffee table ones.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the coolest thing about that Bible, it had these pictures in them. You know, and later discovered they're Renaissance painters, you know. And I always thought that was cool, you know, especially this one painting. Eventually, my sister gave it to me. And, you know, I said, I remember that picture, but it was Daniel in the lion's den. And it shows this old guy standing there, and he's all skinny and frail. And he's standing there in his robe, and around him are these lions looking at him. And I thought, ooh.
That's scary.
Yeah. Pardon me? A hungry lion. Because, you know, the bones, you know, they taste like Fritos. Do they? Really? Okay, what did I do with my study? It's right here. Okay. All right. Well, we're continuing our study in Proverbs in a series called Lessons from My Father. And last week we covered the first part of Proverbs 6, and now we're going to cover the last part, and this last part is kind of, you know, it covers a very mature area. It has to deal with adultery, and as we've talked about before, Proverbs covers, it's God's heart giving wisdom to his kids. I always like to think of Proverbs as a loving letter written to his beloved children, you know, from a loving father. And it's important that even though you guys are still very young and, you know, and a lot of these things, you know, like, oh, I don't even know if I like girls or guys, you know, I kind of sort of do, but, you know, but we need to introduce this stuff because we're building a foundation. We're building a life for you. And so you need to hear these concepts. And, you know, the thing is about God is he's very straightforward about life. And if you read through Proverbs, you discover that God addresses the issues of sexual immorality several times, and you kind of wonder, you know, why does he address that? Well, we'll talk about that. But last week, we discussed the practicality of God's wisdom for our lives. We talked about that God's wisdom is very practical. It's not for, ooh, only for the brilliant in mind can understand his wisdom. His wisdom is street level. It's everyday life. And we talked about things about guarding our words. We talked about being careful about the things that we promise and the things that we say to one another. It's important to measure our words. And then we talked about guarding our watches, guarding our time. And God talked about not being lazy, because laziness leads to what? Do you remember? Some of you were here. Poverty. You know, if I was a lazy guy, you know, and I didn't want to get, and he gave this word picture, the folding of the hands, and the guy just lays on his bed all day, and, you know, the bills won't get paid. You can't be lazy, right? You got to be diligent. And we talk about being diligent in your schoolwork, the importance of education. Don't take your education for granted. It's important. You know, Adam's going to Bible school. That's awesome. That's important. What a wonderful opportunity God's going to give him. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do with it. Yeah. Just don't jump off the pinnacle of the temple, okay? Okay. But, you know, education is important. And it's wonderful what God has given each of you, a beautiful mind to learn and to use that mind for the benefit of others. And so, and also we finish by guarding your ways, avoiding the company of wicked people. And it's true. I think, that, you know, Paul quotes a proverb. He says, you know, bad company corrupts good morals. You know, it's sometimes you have to be a very strong person to bring people up. And most of the time, bad people bring us down. So we have to be careful with the company we keep. Now, I don't mean that we should treat people like they have cooties or anything like that. We're supposed to be ambassadors of Christ. So, also, again, as I said, we're entering another practical area of our life, and that's guarding our marriages. And I know none of you are married yet, but God willing, if he should tarry, you'll get married someday. And this is a good foundation to start planning right now for when you do get married. Yes, right now. Prepare your hearts now by the type of person. Well, what kind of person I want to marry? Well, you want to marry somebody who loves the Lord, somebody who worships God. Okay, when you start, I hate using the word dating, but how are you going to conduct yourself when you're dating that person? You need to prepare your hearts now. Yeah, it's way too young.
And his parents got married when they were like 15. And then his great grandma got married when they were like 11.
Yeah, that's too young, man. That's way too young. But, you know, most guys, they're probably not ready to get married till they're after they're 25. There are exceptions. Johnny Nuanes got married, I think he was 19. Real young guy. He was in my mid-high class years ago. And it's weird to see, you know, you kids grow up and some of you get married. And it's like, wow, I must be getting old. No, I'm not getting old. You guys are getting old. So, but anyway, it's covering that. And marriage is very important to God. And it's the first institution that God created. When God brought Eve to Adam, ta-da! The institution of marriage was created. It was from God's plan. And Paul later tells us in Ephesians, he says, behold, I tell you a mystery. Marriage is like Jesus' relationship with the church. It's supposed to be close, intimate, and loving. And so in this portion of Proverbs, God will address adultery. So let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word, and I'm grateful that, God, you speak to us on a very street level. You're not a prude, and Lord, you created everything. Even you created sex, and you created it for marriage. And Lord, help us to always think of that within that frame. And so, Father, we ask that you would open our hearts to your words and you instruct all of our hearts here about what you have to say about marriage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, as I said, Proverbs, God addresses in Proverbs adultery and fornication. Fornication is sex without being married. Many times. And why do you think he does that? Because it's wrong, but more importantly, it's a problem. It's a problem. It was a problem then. It was a problem 100 years after that. 100 years after that, it's been a problem. It's part of our human condition. It's part of our fallen nature. And so God addresses it, and he wants his kids to learn to think about sex and marriage in the proper context. And so let's guard our marriages. Let's look at verse 20. Let's read that together. Now, again, in Proverbs, Solomon wrote this for his son, but God wrote this to his children. So that includes the young ladies in our class today. So, my son or my daughters, my children, keep your father's command. Do not forsake the law of your mother. The first commandment, keep my commandments. Do not forsake. You know, you hear this repeated over and over in these first chapters. That's because God wants our heart. He wants our attention. Verse 21. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. So what do you think God is saying there? Bind them around your heart. Tie them around your neck. What do you think God is saying about his commands and his laws? Pardon me? Follow them. Keep them. They're a treasure. They are a treasure for your life. And so let's look at verse 22. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs and instructions are the way of life. Again, God is always revealing his love towards his children by giving them sound instructions and warnings. And so let's be wise and listen to our Heavenly Father. First of all, we'll look, God's wisdom will lead you when? First, when you roam. You know, our lives, there's going to come to a point where you're going to be under, away from the umbrella of your parents. You're going to grow up. You're going to go to college. And you're going to be there and you're going to be confronted with many issues of morality. And you're going to have to choose which way you're going to take. You're going to meet that person and you think, wow, this person's great. It's wonderful. And you're going to be confronted with the temptation of sex before marriage. You'll be confronted with that. And God is saying, his wisdom will lead you when you're roaming the campus at UNM or some college, or when you're out hanging out with your friends in mid-high or high school. God's going to be there. You can't hide anything from God. But he's there when you're walking your way, but God wants to walk with you. God wants to walk with you. He wants to have your fellowship. You know, meeting with God is more than meeting with God at church. If this is the only place you meet God, you need to reconsider your ways. God wants to meet you, he says, when you sleep. Why is it important? You know, notice that the things that he's saying is when you're roaming, your eyes are alert, looking around, you're hearing things. And again, he's going to address about the things that we see and hear. God is concerned about those things. But you're roaming. You're going to be exposed to things. And those things that you're exposed to, you're going to probably think about when you lie down and sleep. You think about many things when you lie down and sleep, those closing moments, don't you? Sometimes those thoughts enter your dream world. And sometimes you have these crazy dreams. You know, like the night before, I had these crazy dreams that we had all these white bunnies in our house. And they were these big, fat bunnies. And they were just like lying all over me. You know, it was kind of weird. I don't know why, you know. Maybe I need to see a psychologist. Adam's laughing. It's like, hello. It was just totally weird. But, you know, those closing moments. And so that's why it's important you ask God to guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. To guard your thoughts. You know, we're all tempted. We have these temptation thoughts, you know. And that happens. That's just spiritual warfare. It's our flesh. But, you know, one guy once said, I can't help the birds flying over my head, but I can sure help them from building a nest in my hair. You know, you have to redirect your thoughts. You know, the biggest challenge that God has with us is us cooperating with him and training our hearts how to think godly. And so when you roam, he'll be there. We can't hide from God. So we want to allow God to fill our hearts with his wisdom and grace. Also, God's wisdom will lead you when you sleep. You know, read a verse or think about a verse that you memorized. You know, maybe you're scared of the dark. I'm not scared of the dark. My daughters are. You know, it's crazy. And so before they go to sleep, they would sometimes say, think of... tell us something that something good that we can think of before we go to sleep, instead of spiders, you know. I mean, they just come up with all these crazy things, you know. The spider's going to come and get us and bite us. And, you know, their mom will tell them, think of, you know, whatever is lovely, noble, or pure, that verse from Philippians. And, you know, the cool thing, yesterday we were reading that Philippians, we were kind of going over Philippians yesterday, and we're going over 4, and rejoice in the Lord always, and he talks about where you should set your mind, and I read the verse, and they go, hey, mom says that all the time. And I go, yeah, that's right. And when you hear your mom say that, know that God is speaking to you. When you read God's word, God is speaking to you. And so guard your hearts and minds when you sleep. Allow God's word, his ways, to fill your heart when you sleep. And when you awake, oh man, you wake up with the joy of the Lord. You know, let God's thoughts enter your heart. You know, I mean, a lot of times we wake up and we say, oh God, I've got to go to school, work. You know, wake up with a great attitude. Wake up with the excitement of what God's going to do through your life. You never know what God's going to do through your life. You might even wake up and that day you may see God face to face. You never know. Yeah, it will be cool in his time. But if that happened to you, Justin, we'd miss you. Yeah, so, but, you know, look forward to it, meeting with God in the morning. And also, finally, he says that he will speak to you. And when you awake, his words, they will speak to you. You know, God still speaks. God's word speaks. This is a talking book. It's not quite like the CNC that you used to have when you were a little kid. You know, you can't turn it, you know, to the cow and it'll moo at you. But it'll talk about cows in here, you know, about what kind of cows he sacrifices. But God's word speaks to you. And so allow his word to speak to you. And finally, he closes, for the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs are the reproof of instructions are the way of life. And what it's basically saying is that God's word, it's a reminder, God's commandments are a lamp in a dark place. You're scared of the dark? What do you want to do? You turn on that light. You're scared at night? Think of God's word. Turn on the lamp. You're being tempted and you not know which way to go, or you're making a decision? Turn on the lamp of God's word. You know, it's a light to know what is good and right. Because God wants to bless you. And he blesses you through your obedience to his word. Now let's look at the second thing. First, we search guard God's word in your heart. Now let's look at guard your eyes and ears from lust. Verse 2. Here he says, reproofs and instructions are the way of life to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by the means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Well, first of all, God wants us to have the wisdom to guard your eyes and ears. You know, God wants us to learn to be careful how we look at other people. That's so important. Because that's where it all begins, you know. I mean, you see and you go, whoa. And, you know, sometimes the initial sight, you go, whoa. But be careful where you take that whoa. Be careful how you meditate on it. That's when it becomes lust. Especially us guys. That's a problem mostly with young men. We got to guard our hearts. And also, he says, be careful what you hear. You know, that person who's interested in you is going to say nice things. you know, there's a whole industry, you know, you turn on late night TV and there's this industry of, you know, you call this number and you hear this stuff for your ears to cause you to lust. Be careful how you hear. It says, be careful the flattery of the harlot. A harlot is basically another word of a promiscuous person. It doesn't necessarily have to be a female. It could be a guy. You know, making a girl feel good. Oh, baby, you're so beautiful. You know, blah, 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 you know. You know, you listen to rap music and that's just perversion extraordinaire. And so be careful what you see and be careful what you hear. Be careful what you do with those thoughts. And so, you know, let's talk about flattery for a minute. You know, the flattering tongue. There is a difference between a sincere compliment and flattery. A sincere compliment, it's sincere. You're not trying to get anything from that person. Where flattery is trying to manipulate the other person into giving you something that they want. You know, oh baby, you're so beautiful. You know, yeah, you just want to satisfy your lust. You know, that's the truth of the reality of it. Guard your hearts against that. Also, the thing is, the problem with the lustful eye, it feeds a lustful heart. Again, we need to be careful how we look at the opposite sex. Be careful. Guard your hearts. And let's look at the way of disobedience. It says it reduces the man to a crust of bread. What do you think God is telling you, fellas? We could be very weak. A crust of bread. That's pretty pathetic, isn't it? That's the intent. That's the word picture God is saying. He says, fellas, you follow after somebody like that, you're going to be reduced to a crust of bread. Very pathetic. Hello, come on in. A crust of bread. You know, God wants you to be... go ahead and sit behind these young ladies here. No, you don't. And so, you know, sexual immorality is going to, it reduces you to a low form, to a very minimal form. And, you know, God doesn't want that. He wants you to be best for you, the best. And so the way of disobedience, notice also it reduces you to a carcass. She preys upon you. An adulteress will prey upon his precious life. How would you like to be a carcass? Roadkill, you know, a bloated cow. You know, it's not good. It's not a good word picture. And see, God wants you, the intent of God, the godly thing is that each individual in the body of Christ is to lift each other up. To lift each other up, not bring each other down. And so when you start dating, and especially if you're dating in the body of Christ, you don't want to bring that person down. The goal of your relationship with each other, whether you're just friends or you're more than friends or however you're going to define it, is to edify the other person, to push them up, to help them be the best person that God has for them. That's your goal. That's my goal for you guys, is to instruct you in the way of God so that you are edified and that you grow in the Lord. Adam's goal is the same thing. His goal is to go into Bible school so he can learn and he can use that information to build the body. That's the whole goal of our relationships. That's the goal of a husband and wife. We are to build each other up. And, you know, granted, it's not easy being married at times. And sometimes we put on the gloves and it's not a happy day. But ultimately, I think a godly couple, they ask for forgiveness and they try to pick each other up, push each other up, to make them to be the best person they can be. And so that's the goal of your relationship. Not to see what you can get out of it, not to satisfy your lust, but to push the other person up. So we're guarding our, let's find it again, guarding our heart, God's word in our hearts, guarding our eyes from and ears from lust. Now let's guard our life from fire. Now God really turns on the heat of the danger of adultery. Verse 27. Now, in this, God's going to give us a very interesting word picture. He's for adultery, he's going to use the word fire. Adultery is playing with fire. You know, somebody may think they can get away with it, but they're being burned as they think they're getting away with it. You know, God promised, whatever you sow, you shall reap. And so let's reap good things. Verse 27, can a man take fire to his bosom or his chest and his clothes not be burned? What's the answer to that question?
No.
Yeah, very good. No, duh. Duh could be a good answer. No, you're going to get burned. Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? What's the answer?
No.
Duh. Yeah. No. You can't. You're going to get burned. So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. And so the obvious answer is no. And look at verse 30. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy when he is starving. You know, that's a situational ethics thing, you know. Is it okay to steal if you're starving? And here God says, you know, people aren't going to condemn you for stealing if you're starving to death. But if you commit adultery, it's practically unforgivable. It's basically what he's going to say. Yet, when he is found, he must be restored sevenfold. Back in the Old Testament, if he stole and you were busted for it, you had to pay seven times back the amount. So he may not give up the substance of his, he may have to give up all the substance of his house. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks, or with a man, lacks understanding. That's God's way of saying you're not very smart. He who does so destroys his own soul. He who sins, sin causes death in your life. It kills. Sin kills. No matter if it's a lie, if it's adultery, murder, you know, you fill in the blank, it kills. That's why it's important that we ask God for forgiveness. But adultery has heavy consequences. God will forgive adultery. And there's been, I know of couples, they've committed adultery. Well, I've heard of a couple that committed adultery, and there's been forgiveness. But it changes things. There are consequences. You know, to build up that level of trust would be very difficult. Very hard. And God says adultery is the only reason, or there's a couple of reasons, that where divorce is permitted. Adultery. And so adultery has heavy consequences. It changes lives. It causes damage. Like a fire destroys a home, it burns things up. And who are affected? The people who are married. And guess who else? Kids. The kids are affected. Who else is affected in that? The whole family, their friends. It causes great harm. A heart becomes hardened. It brings dishonor to a person. You'll be stained by it for a very long time. And at times, you probably be hated. How many of you guys like being hated? Nobody likes being hated. But adultery can cause that. So let's conclude this study. It's very important that we guard our hearts by allowing God's word to be bound to our hearts and to our desires. When we live God's way, We do not suffer the consequences of lust, for lust will be transformed into genuine love for others and God. Now, before you go, I want to give you three things, application. First, be filled with God's word. It's important to be filled with the things of God. Take it with you when you're roaming around. Take it when you lie down, and take it with you when you wake up. Because when you wake up, what did it say? God's word will speak to you. And it'll speak to you, and that day when you go roaming around, you've got a word for today. A word to meditate on when you go out through your business. Ask God to help you with temptation. That's the second thing. Ask God to help you with temptation. Temptation isn't sin. It's giving in to temptation that becomes sin. And finally, place your hope in God's ways and not the ways of the world. Because the world will say, it's okay. The world will say, ha, do what you want. Do what pleases you. But God says, do what pleases me and you will be blessed beyond your imagination. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your great goodness and your great grace. We thank you that you care for every issue of our life. And I pray, Lord, as we walk out of here, when we go roaming, that we would take your word in our hearts with us. And I pray, Lord, by faith, we would acknowledge your presence as we walk out of this study and we do our business today. I pray for those who are starting school shortly. I pray, Lord, that you would be a blessing to them. I pray, Lord, that they would carry your hope and your word in their hearts as they start this new school year. I pray, Lord, that you would guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, that you would make their crooked paths straight, and that this year we'll be blessed with learning and blessed with good friendships. We love you and we praise you and we ask you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week.